You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all your questions, your voicemails, your text messages. We want to hear from you. We do mailbag every single Wednesday, so get your voicemails in, your questions for that later in the week. With that, welcome back. Sorry we didn't do a show on Friday. We had a few things that came up, but nothing too pressing that anything that Bulls related we can get to today. Matt Peck is out, and he's going to be out for a couple days this week, so you'll be hanging out with me. I have a couple guests lined up for later this week, so you guys will be able to enjoy that. But for now, the first half of this week, you guys will be enjoying content provided by me. A couple of things I want to get into today, one being this weird situation going on in Minnesota with Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau and Karl Anthony Towns. I think it's important because I've seen some things in Bulls Twitter that I don't necessarily like and want people to put this all in perspective. A couple other things too, want to touch on Chris Dunn really quick. And then I'm going to take a couple questions before we get out of here. But once again, hit us up, 331-979-1369. So I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about this Jimmy Butler, Tom Thibodeau, Karl Anthony Towns situation really quick. Because I saw people on Bulls Twitter saying, well, you know, if Jimmy wants out and the Bulls are looking good this season, maybe a potential playoff run, could we trade for Jimmy Butler? Would he want to come back here for a couple months? To me, I'm already hitting the stop button. Absolutely stop. First of all, Jimmy Butler's not coming back here, and I would be absolutely shocked if they even entertained the idea of trading for him. And look, Tom Thibodeau knows that he may or may not have gotten fleeced in that deal just about a year and a half ago, where he traded Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen for Jimmy Butler and what turned into Justin Patton in the first round. Look, if Tom Thibodeau, I think, if he could look back and redo that situation where Jimmy Butler either has to sign an extension long-term to stay with the Timberwolves or they just don't do the deal in general, I think he would do that. He would reassess the situation because you look at what you've got now in Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen, and you add that to a team of Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, you've got a pretty nice core under 25 years old. Karl Anthony Towns being this budding superstar that everybody thinks he's going to be, you're keeping him happy while you've got Lauri Markkanen, who also looks like a stud, can potentially play your four for the next 5 years, and you can center the team around those two big guys. And you've got Andrew Wiggins and also a Chris Dunn Chris Dunn, who I think is about to break out this season, have a great year. For Tom Thibodeau, this is puts him in a bad situation, and I know Timberwolves fans are not too pleased about it either. But the one thing I want to say with this is let's not even entertain the idea of Jimmy Butler coming back, because that's just not going to happen. Jimmy obviously loves the city of Chicago, loves the fans that were here. But the, one of the main reasons why he pushed himself out of Chicago, he wanted out, the Bulls wanted to part ways with him, is because the Bulls picked Fred Hoiberg over Jimmy Butler. Now, can you see a scenario where Jimmy Butler is traded back to this team with Fred Hoiberg still here? Absolutely not. So let's not entertain those ideas. But something that I do want to entertain for at least a minute is the idea that Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be a restricted free agent in 2019. Now, come down this rabbit hole with me for a minute. Let's take, for instance, the idea that maybe Karl-Anthony Towns is frustrated in Minnesota. He wants out. He doesn't want to go back with the Timberwolves for a long-term deal, which, like Jabari Parker did with his restricted free agency, could sign a one-year deal that would push the Timberwolves out of the market to re-sign him. And maybe he just flat-out tells the Minnesota Timberwolves, hey, you know what? I don't want to play here anymore. I'm not going to re-sign a long-term extension with you guys. I'll sign a one-year deal, or I'll come back on the qualifying offer. You've got to trade me. Basically, that could be a scenario with which that happens. If Tom Thibodeau decides to just run it out, run this course out, this entire team out for the next, I don't know, 6-8 months, Jimmy Butler walks for nothing. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be too happy about that. He might, because it might be his team. But if Tom Thibodeau tries to convince Jimmy Butler to stay and to sign a 2-3 year deal, they might have to be looking at trading Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, I'm not saying that that's the greatest idea in the world. Tom Thibodeau would be a complete idiot to get rid of Karl-Anthony Towns at, what, 22, 23 years old and coming off of his rookie deal. That's not a good look, especially to keep an aging Jimmy Butler around for a handful of years. And what team do you really have competing in the West? So to me, if the Bulls can find a way, maybe the Timberwolves, just maybe, are looking to shop around Karl-Anthony Towns. If Tom Thibodeau can't find a way to mend those relationships with Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler is still in the picture, he might want out. And this is a scenario like I've been talking about multiple times. Set yourself up to be in a situation where you can trade for a star. And the Bulls could be in this position. Now, my question to Bulls fans is, you get to the middle of the season, maybe you even get to the end of 2018-2019. Karl-Anthony Towns wants out. Great. Can you find a way to package a deal around a trade for Karl-Anthony Towns? Or in restricted free agency, maybe you don't pick up Jabari Parker's option for $20 million next season. That opens roughly about $35, $36 million in cap space. Would you be willing to bring Karl-Anthony Towns in? I know that they just drafted Wendell Carter Jr., but believe me, when I'm saying that Karl-Anthony Towns being a part of this Bulls team for the future, if you can sign him to a long-term extension and have the money to do that, Jabari Parker you could maybe wave bye to after this season. And you can also set yourself up for a front court that looks like Lauri Markkanen and Karl-Anthony Towns paired with guys like Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. That might look like a pretty solid team to me. The one sticking point here would be, I don't know if the Bulls would be interested in the idea of either trading Wendell Carter Jr., even just after one rookie year, 7th pick overall in this past draft. And I don't know if fans would be all bought into that. So I want your answer. Would, if Karl-Anthony Towns wants out of Minnesota, should the Bulls hop on it? Should the Bulls either be calling Tom Thibodeau and saying, okay, what's your asking price for Karl-Anthony Towns? Or maybe you wait till his restricted free agency in 2019 and that's a guy that you go after. Now look, this is a shot in the sky and it's going to be an ongoing story throughout the entire season. Whether or not Jimmy Butler stays in Minnesota long term, which I don't think there's any scenario which Jimmy Butler stays, even though the relationship is tight with Tom Thibodeau and that's the guy that kind of built him, I don't see it. I could see two or three other scenarios where Jimmy Butler either goes to LA, Jimmy goes and pairs up with Kyrie Irving, who he's talked about for a long time that wants to stay and play together. Maybe they go to New York. Maybe Jimmy really does want to live out that LA life, that Hollywood Jimmy life, and go and team up with LeBron next season. Like, those two scenarios are in play. I think the biggest mess that the Timberwolves are going to get themselves into this season is finding a trade partner for Jimmy Butler. And that would be the smartest move. If Jimmy Butler's not going to re-sign a long-term extension in Minnesota, you've got to move him, because the last thing they want to do is have a free agent, a superstar free agent, hit the market and you get nothing. So I don't know if Tom Thibodeau has, let's say, the willingness to admit that this did not work, that him trading for Jimmy Butler just a year ago did not work, and they need to get something for him. If you want to salvage your relationship with Karl Anthony Towns, you got to get something for him. So the idea that Jimmy Butler coming back here for half a season, let's just clear that completely out of our minds. I saw that a couple times on Bulls Twitter this weekend, and I do not want to have that conversation, because it's just not going to happen. It's not to say that I don't like Jimmy Butler at all, because I do. I love him as a player. But where the Bulls are going, the way that they're trying to shape themselves, also Jimmy's relationship with the front office on top of his relationship with Fred Hoiberg, all of that together just does not add up to a scenario where Jimmy Butler would come home to Chicago. He's got more important things on his mind, like maybe going and winning a championship in L.A., pairing up with LeBron, or go playing with one of his best friends in Kyrie Irving, maybe in New York, maybe in Brooklyn. We'll see what happens, but the Timberwolves situation is very interesting. Keep your eyes on Karl Anthony Towns, too, because if he goes to restricted free agency in 2019 and the Bulls don't pick up their option on Jabari Parker for $20 million, that would be the first guy that I would say, hey, you know what, you might actually have a legit shot at convincing Karl Anthony Towns to come here. Now, this is pie in the sky. We're talking about a year in advance, and a lot of things can happen between the Timberwolves and Karl Anthony Towns' relationship there. But if we're talking about free agents, and we've listed through a bunch of different scenarios, Klay Thompson being ahead of that, Kevin Durant being at the top of the list, Kyrie Irving being at the top of the list of free agents next season, Jimmy Butler, we've already said it. I don't think any of those guys are even going to entertain the idea of coming to Chicago. So you find yourself in a place where you could toss money at a guy that's 23 years old, a guy that's one of the best centers, one of the best big men in all of basketball. Hey, it's at least something to entertain. We'll find out what Tom Thibodeau does with the relationship with Karl Anthony Towns and what he decides with Jimmy Butler overall this season. So those are two storylines that I think we should keep our eyes on going forward. We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, I've got some interesting things on the Bulls real quick just from this weekend. One in particular on Chris Dunn, and then I'm going to take a couple questions before I get out of here from listeners. You can hit us up 331-979-1369. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Be right back here on Locked On Bulls. Stay with us. All right, back here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can hit us up 331-979-1369. Hit us up on Twitter, too, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. So I have to give a shout out real quick to Dean's Dugout. Dean's Dugout in Naperville, Illinois. They're doing a signing with Daniel Palka, White Sox outfielder, October 1st. It's Monday, October 1st, 6:30 to 8 p.m. If you want tickets, if you want to meet Daniel Palka, it's only $25 for an autograph signing and a meet and greet with White Sox outfielder Daniel Palka. You can also call them at 630-527-8888. That's deansdugout.com for tickets. Should be a great time if you're a White Sox fan out there looking to meet Daniel Palka. There's your opportunity. So a couple quick things before I get into some questions in the back half of this episode. First of all, we are going to continue doing our 32 best moments in Bulls history. And so most iconic moments, and obviously these are up for debate. There's a million different memories. There's a million different moments in the Chicago Bulls franchise that you can narrow these all down to. So Matt and I try to pick the best of the 32, and they don't necessarily have to be in-game moments either. They can be trades, they can be drafts, they can be outlandish press conferences, whatever you have it. Things that shape the Chicago Bulls and things that, you know, happened 10, 15 years ago that if somebody brings up that moment, you know exactly where you were, you know exactly what that headline is, and you know kind of how that shaped the Chicago Bulls. So we're going to definitely continue to do that, but I don't want to do that without Matt. So I'm going to wait a couple days until Matt comes back, and we'll continue heading that front. But I just wanted to update you guys from the episode on Thursday's show. We had talked about our first matchup, which was the I'm Back Facts and Why Can't I Be MVP of the League. So that was the first in our bracket of 32. And the fans have voted. You have voted as a listener on Twitter. And, of course, the I'm Back Facts wins. I was actually surprised at how close this was. 59% of the vote went to the I'm Back Facts, and 41% of the vote went to why can't I be MVP of the league. Look, if Derrick Rose, if this situation went up against anything else besides the I'm Back Facts, I'm probably going to pick this, because not only did he say why can't I be the MVP of the league, but then he turned it into an MVP season. You couple that with Michael Jordan coming back, and then he coupled the I'm back to everybody skepticizing whether or not he could actually get to the Bulls to championship success again. He turned around and turned that into a three-peat. So it's hard to deny the importance of the I Am Back Facts. So just wanted to let you guys know, I Am Back Facts 1, it will be moving on to the next round. So I'll release all 32 of those. You guys can get a good look at what we'll be discussing over the next handful of weeks until we get down to our final four and then eventually a winner. So as we were diving in, and we're going to do these player evaluations going up into training camp in the next couple of weeks, diving into each player, talking about what our goals for them are this season, and also kind of looking back at their 2017-2018 stats and how they can build that up, and also where they kind of landed as far as positioning goes. So there's only seven players in the NBA last year, seven guards in the NBA last year that averaged at least 13 points per game, 5.5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 1.5 steals. Those seven guards: James Harden, Stephen Curry, Russell Westbrook, Drew Holiday, Chris Paul, Ben Simmons, and your starting point guard on the Chicago Bulls, Chris Dunn. Now, this might be a little bit of cherry picking, but at the same time, you know, those are all vital stats that you need to be an effective point guard in this league. Obviously, Chris Dunn came in the lowest field goal percentage out of the group of these seven. He was the lowest in plus minus, the only one that was negative in plus minus at minus 5.3. The next closest was 4.8, tied with Ben Simmons and Russell Westbrook. And then the advanced stats too, you look at the offensive rating and the offensive box plus minus, Chris Dunn was the lowest out of all of those. But the defensive box plus minus was actually, Chris Dunn did not land last. So just being in the category with those guys, all of those guys being playoff contenders on playoff contending teams, most of those guys having phenomenal years last year. So Chris Dunn being a part of that conversation, only his second year, I think builds up for the fact that it's been what we've been talking about the entire offseason. Is the most important player on this team this year, I think, is Chris Dunn. The offense is going to go with Chris Dunn. The offense is going to be surrounded by Chris Dunn. And the only way for the Bulls to get the maximum value out of all of their potential offensive weapons is Chris Dunn. So I'm looking for him to have a huge year, but I figured I would share that with Bulls fans too. Pretty good company to be in with Harden, Curry, Westbrook, Holiday, Chris Paul, Ben Simmons, and then Chris Dunn. So very excited about that, and I was very surprised too. With that, couple other things to wrap up. One is, we've got a question about second round picks, and I did this whole spiel back in late June, early July, when we were talking about the Bulls' grades as far as the draft goes, and we've got a question about why the Bulls continue to just completely dismiss second round picks. We know this for a long time now. They've either traded away second round picks, or they'll run a press conference during the second round like they did this summer. To me, it's a matter of philosophy. First and foremost, it's whether or not you believe in second round picks. If you believe in guys that there is value in the second round, I, for one, believe that there's value in the second round. Like I've said multiple times, look at Manu Ginobili, second round. Draymond Green, second round. Look at all of the guys that have just been taken over the last 3 years. A lot of those second round picks are somewhere around the NBA right now. So to me, as a rebuilding team, that was the sticking point for me. How can you be a rebuilding team and just completely dismiss second-round picks? Now, to the Bulls' credit, they've done a really good job at picking up guys that either went undrafted, teams that have waived players that you can take a flyer on. Look at David Awaba, for one. You look at Antonio Blakeney, who they invited to the Summer League, went undrafted, invited him to a two-way contract after Summer League was over, had a pretty decent year, had a historic year in the G League. And now he made the roster 1 year later. You look at Ryan Arcidiacono, and for a lot of those Bulls fans out there, you're probably laughing. Ryan Arcidiacono, though, a lot of people probably didn't think he could play in the NBA. Was invited to Summer League, got a two-way contract, played pretty decently in the G League, was up and down with the Bulls all season last year, now invited back to training camp and might be a part of that group of Antonius Cleveland, Derek Walton Jr., Kaiser Gates, and Ryan Arcidiacono and Derek Walton. All those guys fighting basically for one roster spot this season. If I had to put money on it right now, just considering what the Bulls like and I think what the Bulls have shown over a year, Ryan Arcidiacono might be the favorite to make that spot. And that adds a little bit more of a guard depth, but you might not need that, to be honest with you. Maybe Kaiser Gates surprises us. I'd like to see Derek Walton Jr. make the roster and at the very least maybe get a two-way contract because I think he's got definite potential. Just going back to his college years at Michigan, he was part of the reason why that Michigan team went to a Final Four. So I'd like to see him make the roster, but Ryan Arcidiacono has worked his ass off. He really has. And not saying that he's going to do anything important for the Bulls, but he might be an option there. Just saying, like, the Bulls have picked out guys that have gone undrafted, have invited them to Summer League, and they've turned out. They've turned out pretty good in the last 2 years. Another one, Raleigh Alkins. Raleigh Alkins has posted a couple videos over the last couple of weeks. He looks really good. I'm excited to see what he does on his two-way contract this year, see if he lights it up in the G League, and maybe could potentially help the Bulls out too. That two-way contract is one of my favorites, and I think the Bulls have been doing an excellent job of not only getting guys on two-way contracts, but finding ways to incorporate them into the NBA. Even last season with Antonio Blakeney, when there was a couple injuries, Antonio Blakeney came up and played pretty decently. He earned himself a roster spot this year by continuing to do what he did. So, Raleigh Alkins, I was very surprised the Raptors got rid of him, but the two-way contracts and going back to the second round, that's my thing. It's like, okay, maybe the Bulls don't necessarily have second-round picks to draft in this case this year. They didn't. But there was multiple teams looking to sell second-round picks, especially in the early 30s. You look at guards that were taken. Gary Trent Jr. was taken in the second round, played at Duke. A couple other guys that I felt like slipped into the second round, and the Bulls could have at least taken a flyer, traded for basically nothing to get a second round pick. The Lakers were looking to get rid of picks. The 76ers were looking to get rid of second round picks. So I felt like there was a deal to be made done there, but they've kind of made up for that in the fact that they've invited a handful of guys, which I think do have decent potential to at least show flashes, that they've kind of made up for not drafting in the second round. And we'll find out. We'll find out if any of these guys, Antonius Cleveland, who they picked up on waivers, Derek Walton Jr., who they've invited to training camp, or even some of these guys that played at Summer League with them. You look at Kaiser Gates, who just recently was invited to training camp, and then Ryan Arcidiacono, part of that Summer League team as well, with a partially guaranteed contract. So, yes, I'm aggravated by the second round picks. I know Matt is not. He doesn't really care about second round picks, but I was a little bit aggravated by it, the fact that 2 years in a row when you're in a rebuild, the Bulls decided not to go the way of, hey, you know what, maybe we can take a flyer on a guy in the second round and see what he turns into. So to me, I just don't think that's not necessarily doing your due diligence. All right, before we get into some voicemails, we all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band, maybe you want to see the Bears tonight, Monday Night Football against the Seahawks, or the Bulls coming up preseason games in just a few weeks. Whatever it may be, with Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners at Locked On Bulls an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Whether you're looking to go to the Justin Timberlake concert in a few weeks at the United Center, or maybe you want to hit up a Bears game in the next couple of weeks, or you're looking to even attend preseason games, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. So do that right now. Locked On, $20 off orders $200 or more. Download the Vivid Seats app, vividseats.com. Promo code Locked On. Got to take another short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, I'm taking a couple of questions before I get out of here on this Monday. Remember, you can hit us up 331-979-1369. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Melly, and at Bulls_Peck. Stay right here at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. back here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can hit us up 331-979-1369 on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. All right, I'm going to take a voicemail before I get out of here, and this one comes on a topic that I know Matt probably didn't want to hit on, so I'll hit on it for you guys. This comes from our listener, Jordan, in Tampa.
Hey, guys. This is Jordan from Tampa. I love the show. So I'm calling about Justin Holiday, and I know Matt won't agree with this, but everyone wants to get rid of Justin Holiday, a veteran three-point shooter who comes off the bench, who can guard the two and the three, and most likely can guard the one at times. Getting rid of him isn't our biggest concern. I think keeping him for the next season, once we finally develop, we will need that veteran presence anyways. And to have somebody like him who can guard multiple positions, who is dedicated on and off the court, if you check his social media, this guy absolutely loves God and basketball and family. No other better locker room presence than that. Just calling. Want to know your guys' thoughts. Know if I'm crazy or if Justin Holiday is going to be a part of a Bulls rebuild that can be a championship team within years, which will need a veteran presence shooter. Take care, guys. Go Bulls.
All right, appreciate the call, Jordan. So this is interesting, and I know one of our callers, one of our listeners, Hayes in Philly, is not going to enjoy this, but I'll try to keep this short and sweet. So all the reasons that you listed for Justin Holiday, that's great. I think he can be a good mentor. 28 years old, 29 this season. You've got a lot of young guards, a lot of guys that are in the first handful of years of their NBA career. Yes, you definitely need veteran presence in the locker room. Our point about Justin Holiday being on this roster is we don't want him to take away from minutes that you can be evaluating guys like Antonio Blakeney, guys like Cameron Payne, guys like Denzel Valentine, Chandler Hutchison. To me, I don't want Justin Holiday taking any of those minutes away. And if Fred Hoiberg realizes that he's got to play his younger guys, maybe so, rather than the veterans like Justin Holiday or Robin Lopez, then you're in a situation where that's fine. Like, if Fred Hoiberg understands that Justin Holiday's only playing 10 minutes a game, that's great, fine. He's only on a 1 year deal. His deal's expiring after the end of this year. $4.5 million for a guy that averaged 12.2 points per game last year, 4.0 rebounds, 2.1 assists, and 1.1 steals. Look, his shooting clip was terrible. Probably one of the worst of the guards last season, shooting only 37.1%. That is terrible. That is terrible for a guard that comes in with shooting over 10 shots per game. Now, granted, he was asked to do a lot because a lot of the guards were either hurt or the Bulls didn't really have a lot of offensive options last year. Look, he's not going to be a part of any conversation of a Bulls being a winning or competitive team down the road. His deal's expiring, $4.5 million. That's kind of why we were talking about, like, if Justin Holiday maybe in the first couple of months can get in there, can find a rhythm, can show that he can do something, maybe you can move him for something. But like I said before in our last conversation, I don't even know if you can get a second round pick for Justin Holiday. And like we said before, the Bulls don't value second round picks. So I think you're stuck, but it's not stuck in a bad way. Justin Holiday definitely has some value as far as a veteran leader, guy that's bounced around from multiple teams, has been on this Bulls roster twice, has been to a handful of other teams in situations where he hasn't really gotten that big of an opportunity. Look, he's not a great guard. He's not great. I can understand just because of his length and his size that maybe he can guard the two and the three, and you're going to need some help because you don't know what Chandler Hutchison is going to be this year. The Bulls are going to have to play small ball lineups, especially in that second unit. You know, you're going to have Cameron Payne, Denzel Valentine, maybe Chandler Hutchison. Like, I'm not banking on Chandler Hutchison to be the guy that's going to be part of that second rotation immediately. Maybe he does surprise us in training camp, but I don't see him being plugged in and playing 20, 25 minutes per game next year right off the bat. I think he's going to have to earn that. I think Fred Hoiberg's going to make him earn that. So Justin Holiday, I think at the beginning of the season, you might see lineups where it's Cameron Payne, Justin Holiday, Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, and Wendell Carter Jr. Now, look, that's not that bad, but I'd like to see Chandler Hutchison at least get a run and find a way to prove himself. If he does, then maybe Justin Holiday's minutes are reduced. But I'd like to see more out of Antonio Blakeney, too. Like, they signed him for a one-year deal. He's proven that he can score. And if he's a guy that can shoot better than Justin Holiday can, maybe you can play Cameron Payne and Antonio Blakeney at the one and the two, move Denzel Valentine down to the three, and then you got Bobby Portis and Wendell Carter Jr. part of your second rotation. Look, I don't think Justin Holliday is the end-all, be-all of this roster. Like you said, friendly deal, $4.5 million. He's not a part of this future, though. Let's be completely honest. So I don't mind him being on the roster, and that's great that he does love basketball, that he's a great person. There's a lot of guys in the NBA like that, and we're not knocking him personally. We never knock people personally here. It's all about what they can do for the future development of this team. And for right now, for this season, one of the main goals is to try to get as many of your young guys as many minutes as possible. And a 29-year-old Justin Holliday doesn't really fit into that mold. Same thing with why I think Robin Lopez should be off this roster. Not because I don't like Robin Lopez, not because I don't think he's a great veteran presence. I think very highly of both of those guys as far as their locker room and their leadership skills go. But the minutes that Robin Lopez is going to take away, the minutes that Justin Holliday are going to take away from the young guys might stunt some growth, especially early. Like, you're in the second year of your rebuild, and you've just drafted a guy at number 7 and at number 22 that you want to see get some run. And with Jabari Parker playing the 3 this year, kind of being pigeonholed at the 3, you're going to need options. And a crowded front court, and Bobby Portis and Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., and then if Jabari doesn't play well at the 3, you might have to shift him to the 4 and give him minutes there to get the best possible outcome from his game this year. And that's going to cause an even more crowded front court. So I think that's why Robin Lopez, if he's willing to take a back seat to 10, 15 minutes a night, same thing with Justin Holliday, that's fine. But do I think either of those guys are going to be a part of a team a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? Probably not. Thanks for the call, though. Appreciate it, Jordan. All right, let's take one more voicemail, and then we'll wrap it up here. This one comes from Corey out in L.A.
Hello, Matt and Jordan. This is Corey Solomon again, California. I just have a quick question. I'm listening to y'all talk show that you always say, you know, Parker and Zach LaVine and all them are lousy defenders, which they are. They play horrible defense. Terrible. What is some kind of way that they can be positive for the Bulls? What are some ways that they can run their offense where they will succeed, where we can maybe see them making the playoffs? What position would you all say, Matt and Jordan, is to put Jabari Parker in a position that he can succeed for his playing defense? What kind of offense do the Bulls need to run? Where they can succeed and, you know, maybe make it to the playoffs. What are some things that they can do to make them successful? What is y'all take on that question I just presented to you? Thanks, guys, and have a good day.
All right, thanks for the call, Corey. Appreciate it. So, a couple things here. So you're asking how you can turn some of these negatives coming into the seasons or some of the unknowns into positives. Let's backtrack a little bit and let's talk about the team defense overall. What the Bulls did as far as scoring last year and what the Bulls did as far as their defense went and what the rest of the league kind of shook out and looked like. So just one, defensive rating overall. The Bulls were third worst last season at 109.1. The other two teams that were worse than them were the Cleveland Cavaliers at 109.5 and the Phoenix Suns at 110.6. So being a bottom five team in the NBA as far as defensive rating goes, defense overall, that's not good. You don't want to be there. So the first step would be the Bulls getting out of the bottom five. Bottom five gets you at least one playoff team in there. So the bottom five teams, two teams out of those went to the playoffs last year, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Nuggets were down to the last game. They got knocked it out, but they still won 46 games with having a defensive rating of 108.8. You look at the bottom third of the league in defensive rating, too. You ask how many playoff teams from that made the playoffs last year. You've got the Suns at the worst, Cavaliers, Bulls, Kings, Nuggets, Nets, Grizzlies, Knicks, Timberwolves, Hawks, Magic. So the Timberwolves, the Cavaliers, and the Nuggets were the only teams that were above 500 in winning percentage. So you look at the Nuggets, 46 wins. Sure, they had a couple nice pieces. They battled in the West a lot. They've got significantly better pieces than the Bulls do right now, even with their defensive rating be as bad as it is. The Cavaliers, well, obviously, they had LeBron James. So when you have LeBron James, things can go that way. And then, of course, the Timberwolves. Timberwolves, surprisingly, with one of the bottom third defensive ratings, lowest defensive ratings at 108.4, they just barely squeaked into the playoffs with that 8 seed. So only three teams that were above 500 with defensive ratings in the lower third of the NBA last season. So goal number one, get out of the bottom five in defensive rating next season. Like, the Bulls were good defensively, rebounding too. You look at their numbers, they sat at number 8 in defensive rebounds last year, and they were second in defensive rebound percentage at 80.6% behind the Charlotte Hornets. They weren't giving that many points up in the paint too. They were middle of the pack at 14. They're actually the better half. So they weren't giving up a whole ton of points in the paint, so that points to a lot of points coming from the perimeter, where you're going to see Parker have to defend at the perimeter at the three. You're going to have to see LaVine be able to be a better defender at the perimeter against the twos. You're going to need that to happen because, like we said, like Lauri Markkanen, I think, is going to take a step ahead with his defense this year. And then whatever you get out of Wendell Carter Jr. or Robin Lopez, the shot blockers, especially Wendell Carter Jr., that's going to be huge for them this season, especially with that second unit. If Wendell Carter Jr. can come in and be a shot blocker, a rim protector right away, that's huge for the Bulls. The Bulls were the worst team in blocks per game last year, 3.5 blocks per game. Wendell Carter Jr., what he's just shown in the summer league and even at Duke, is showing that he can protect the rim, block shots. So that's going to be a huge step up for the Bulls. So there's a little positive for you too, but I think the first thing, the defense is going to be bad, but if they can be not bottom five bad, that'll be a step in the right direction for the Bulls this season. Now, I want to look at the scoring, too. Let's dive into the top 10 teams that made the playoffs, the top 10 teams in shooting threes last year, the percentage of threes that they were getting their points off of, and where they ended up. So the Rockets came in at number one, shooting 40.9% of their points were coming from threes. That was the highest in the NBA last season. Then you got the Nets and the Mavericks, two teams that did not make the playoffs. You've got the Celtics, who are one of the best teams in the East, at number four. The Atlanta Hawks, the Cavaliers, the Bulls come in at number seven there. The Heat, the Raptors, the Nuggets. So, handful of those teams, about half of those teams, the Celtics, the Rockets, the Cavaliers, the Heat, the Raptors, and the Nuggets just missing by one game. That's six of the top 10 teams that were getting the majority of their points from the three were playoff teams. 60% of those teams were. 40% of those teams were tanking teams. The Bulls need to stay in that top half. I want to see the majority of their points, which they will. I think adding Parker, Lauri Markkanen putting up the same numbers that he was last year at the three, attempting like six threes per game. You keep that clip there, you get Jabari Parker shooting three or four a game, you get Zach LaVine shooting three or four a game, and then Wendell Carter Jr., who can maybe step out and shoot one or two a game. You're going to have a lot of guys being able to knock down the three, so that clip needs to stay there. The Bulls are at number seven. I would say stay between 1 through 10 as far as where you're getting your points from the three. Finally, overall, if the Bulls want to be competitive this year, this is all talking about team overall, not specific players, because I think we've dove into that a ton, Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker both. And instead of making generalizations, let's look at the team, what they were last year, and what implementing both of those guys, Parker, Hutchinson, and Carter, into this lineup might do. So another thing that I wanted to look at, too, that could be potentially a positive this year, is like Zach LaVine, he only played 25 games last year. Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen didn't play full seasons either. All these numbers I expect to shift a little bit this year, barring that they all stay healthy. Jabari Parker stays healthy. Wendell Carter Jr. is actually implemented into the rotation at 20, 25 minutes, maybe more than that, at the beginning of the season, sooner rather than later. But looking at unassisted field goals made by the Bulls last year, this will tell you a little bit about how their isolation game was and whether they needed guys to facilitate in order to score buckets. Where they were getting the percentage of their points from there, the Bulls were actually in the bottom third of the league in that. So that's telling you that the Bulls were moving the ball a lot last year on offense in order to score buckets. They didn't need to get it in isolation. I think that's the one thing that's you're going to have to monitor with Zach LaVine this year. He likes to score a lot of his buckets off of three or four dribbles. I think he's at about 60% of his shots last year came off of three or four more dribbles before he actually knocked down a shot. You want to see him be able to move without the ball too, and I think that's going to be huge and key for him this year. Don't take those terrible shots that are difficult mid-range shots that you got a guy or two in your face. Zach LaVine tends to do that a lot and thinks he needs to command the ball in order to score. I'd like to see him be able to move without the ball and get up for open for looks, because you know Zach LaVine's a good shooter. Same thing with Parker. I think both LaVine and Parker being implemented in this roster, you're going to see more of their field goal percentage coming from unassisted plays. And that may or may not be a bad thing for this Bulls team, but it's good to know that you got Lauri Markkanen who can take a guy one-on-one. You got Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine who can put it on the floor and score either from outside or from inside. I think that's going to be a huge boost to the Bulls offense next year. Like, look, If the Bulls were eighth in shooting threes and points coming off three-pointers last year, they were eighth in the league in doing that. And one of the worst teams as far as shooting threes last year, as far as their percentage goes, you're adding two guys to this roster, potentially three guys to this roster that shoot over 35, 37% from three. I'm hoping Zach LaVine gets back to more to the 38, 40% clip he was shooting at before the ACL injury. And we'll hope. We'll cross our fingers on that one. Jabari Parker, same thing. Hopefully he gets back to that 20 points per game score that he was in that clip that he was shooting before when Jason Kidd actually let him shoot threes, was shooting towards that 40% clip. So if those guys continue to do that, I think you're going to see the uptick in scoring. That's not the concern, though. Stay out of the bottom five in the defense and continue to make strides. The Bulls were the third worst in the NBA last year. If they can move up to maybe sixth worst, seventh worst, that's improvement. You want to see them go forward, not backwards. So it's going to be difficult for the Bulls this year because I think a lot of other teams are better defensively than they were last year. You might see the Cavaliers hang around there a little bit. You might see the Phoenix Suns hang back there too, but I think you're going to see about the same teams in the bottom 10 that we did last year. So Bulls got to stay out of the bottom five of defense. That's going to be one of their biggest goals. And if they can do that, that's a small achievement for this team. So a lot of positives I just gave you, just named off a bunch of statistical team positives that they can go into this year looking at this team. So not necessarily concerned about Parker and LaVine because those are the storylines that everybody's concerned with, but overall how they're going to play as a team and adding those three pieces. And well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pack. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Hit us up, text messages and voicemails at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with all of your questions. We'll be doing mailbag on Wednesday, so get those in, 331-979-1369. Only a couple weeks from training camp away. Super excited, crossing my fingers, that this season is going to be a whole hell of a lot better than it was last year. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. For Jordan Malley, thanks for hanging out with me on a Monday. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan Malley, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.